Hello, homies, and welcome to another episode of Kill Your Yo-Yo, brought to you by Hollywood Modern Yo-Yos, and I am your host, Ross Levine. Today, we have Andre Boulet, who founded Yo-Yo Expert, created probably the most influential series of tutorials in modern yo-yoing history. Just expert yo-yo creator, influencer through the generations. Incredible person, well worth hearing the words of, and I am interviewing him about the dopamine because he worked with Alex Kim to originally release the Freak Wave when that came out, as well as the follow-up yo-yos to the Freak Wave, which was the Sign Saw and the At, and not the FX for reasons that you'll hear in the episode. The Freak Wave was a classic in its time, and the Dopamine, which is my signature yo-yo, is based off of the Freak Wave, and you'll hear a lot about all of those yo-yos in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. It was a very good time. It was very fun to get to talk to Andre, and I think it was a good time all around. So I hope that you enjoy the episode, and please go check out the Dopamine, which is arriving at Yo-Yo Expert tomorrow, which may be yesterday or a few days ago when this episode comes out. But for me, today, on September 2nd, it is tomorrow, which is September 3rd, which is when the Dopamine will release, which is part of the reason that I named it Dopamine, is because I can say that Dopamine is releasing on September the 3rd. So I hope you enjoy it and enjoy this episode. Let's launch right into the action.
Yeah, I mean, out of the gate, it was a yo-yo that just hit, and I very clearly remember like throwing it for the first time, and it was kind of the yo-yo that like I feel like, you know, made a name for where he went. Anthony Rojas, obviously, like loving it and like being the innovator he was too, and just the way that yo-yo played and moved through space. Yeah, it was an instant hit. It was just like unfortunate because Rec Rev never really had it all together. And so like we get like 40 in and they would disappear and you'd never see them again.
That's literally like, I watched that as a child. I was like, oh, I love this company. I love every yo-yo that they're making, but dang, they're like, they just come in randomly. And I just was hearing like crazy stories from what he was doing behind the scenes. Like
he was a character, you know.
Yeah, so. But also so many of his designs are like so ahead of their time that
absolutely,
it plays like nothing else.
Yeah.
That's literally though what I wanted. Like when I was younger, I was like, it would be really cool to try to be able to make a company that could do that same thing of like trying to keep costs low but quality really really high, and but to have like more of a actual business background. So I think a lot of the classes that I took in college were like, how can I kind of mesh those two together?
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's a fun part of yo-yos is you can take a passion, something you love, and you can try and mesh it into, you know, something that you can ideally like make money off to then further do something that you actually are excited about in the sport industry, whatever, which I think is what's cool about what you're trying to do. So
yeah, I mean it's a really fun industry to be in.
It is
I've always admired that you're like actually able to do it as a living, that it's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I've never taken that for granted either, because it's always been quite an honor. And I mean, before I started Yo-Yo Expert too, I worked, you know, initially I worked for the toy store that we actually also now own too.
And I was able to teach, right?
Yeah, A to Z. So I was able to teach Yo-Yo first. And then eventually I started working for Yo-Yo Jam and did all their customer service and ran their team. And then eventually went into development and product and stuff like that.
Was that with Yo-Yo Jam that you were developing?
Yeah, I did a huge amount of
what are some of the projects that you worked on?
I mean, honestly, from The I don't know if you remember the Matrix, like the original Matrix.
I've
So,
probably played one at one point.
I mean, that one's kind of a cool one because it was actually the groundbreaking yo-yo that they introduced O-ring response in.
Oh, really?
So yeah, that one was a cool point too because I actually went down to the Smithsonian to help perform and demonstrate. They were doing like an inventions kind of like fair demonstration thing. And so
Yeah.
Yo-Yo Jam went down there to kind of show off their patent on yo-yos and stuff. At the same time, he had the prototype for the Matrix. And so we were testing out all the different types of O-rings. And we had like silicone O-rings, black O-rings, we had all different types of O-rings. And so we were kind of trying to see, because it was at that point before that, it was just Starburst or friction stickers.
Yeah.
So I mean, after that, I mean, honestly, like I got prototypes of everything and there was just tweaks and adjustments and stuff. I wasn't necessarily CADing anything, but it was always, from a design perspective of this, a lot of it too was like, this is what the player wants for their signature series model. And then this is what's realistic. This is what, like they're, it would always be interpreting like what they want out of a yo-yo
Yeah.
and then trying to get the design side of it to understand. 'Cause sometimes that's one of the more complex things is trying to get a signature series designed in a way that the player likes it and it's something that works.
Yeah. Something that works and is marketable and is
Yeah, right.
loved. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces to
Yeah. Because like
yeah.
I've always been scared to do any signature yo-yos until recently, that now that I kind of trust my intuition on yo-yo design, because like what if you make a signature yo-yo for someone and then they don't even use it? Like what if it's not actually something that's going to achieve what they want it to be, but
Right.
they don't even
Which
like it as a yo-yo?
it's definitely a reality of
Yeah.
the situation, I kind of look at signature series as like a journey with the player because
Yeah.
inevitably, like, I mean, it's kind of funny. I don't really know any one yo-yo player who has been able to use the same yo-yo for years on end.
Yeah.
Like, you desire something different, and it's not because of the demand necessarily of your tricks, even. It's just because it feels good to have change, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think actually, like I've always kind of emphasized, like a signature yo-yo represents something that the player is excited about and wants to showcase and wants to show you, but it also shouldn't just be the end all and be the only thing that they ever touch,
Yeah, no, completely. It's more of like a concept. Like I don't see this as the freak wave. I see it as kind of the underlying concept of where is the weight and what tricks can it allow, which is pole starts. Like it has that little groove in the center that
Oh,
I've always
true,
loved for
true.
pole starts. Like
Totally.
now I
Yeah,
can just
that I mean
do them.
I know I always loved it has kind of this your yo-yo too specifically. I love the inner weight ring basically like in the center there because when
Yeah.
I did Dark Magic too, that was always a significant part of that yo-yo, which is like having weight closer to the center.
Yeah.
Another My favorite yo-yos was always like the Chief from Caribou Lodge. And again, the same thing with that inner ring, the weight's placed more towards the center. And I
Yeah.
love the distribution of weight that it gives, where it's like it has enough rim weight, has enough power, but it makes it so much more nimble and it just kind of flows in a way that
Yeah.
you don't always get when everything's all on the edge of the rim. So
It almost has a
we'll
way of
start
like, oh yeah. But
soon.
it almost has a way of hiding extra weight that it feels a little bit lighter, even if it's
Totally.
technically heavier. It
Right.
just feels so
No,
much better.
absolutely. I mean, that was always too. I always liked heavier yo-yos, but it's important to have more of the weight pushed towards the center of the yo-yo.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people think it's really heavy.
And it can
Totally.
be. It
Yeah.
can be. But it is good
Totally.
to have that power sometimes.
Absolutely.
There's also one more thing I definitely just wanted to hit here. Do you remember the at and the sine saw and the FX?
Yes. Absolutely. I was gonna say, I
All the
think I
like
liked all our graphic presentations for all of those because I just pulled up the Freak Wave and was looking at that. I mean, the science saw that one went really in and out fast. But yeah, I mean, that was also a great yo-yo. Yeah, actually, I'll send you. I still have all the graphics and stuff. What was the other one you mentioned?
The at, the sine saw, and the FX. It's F and then the X is in parentheses. That
Yeah.
one's so the just for people listening, the at is like a Rekrev did almost a side effects variation, like their version, which
Oh, that's
they kind of
right.
like tried and then they stopped doing it and then they went out of business. But
It's funny.
like
I
here's
don't think I ever got the FX, actually. I think I only
really
ever
well,
like got to try it.
they only had C grades. There weren't
Right.
even B grades. They all wobbled really bad. I have one, it wobbles
Yeah.
so bad. But
That makes sense.
it's such a good yo-yo. It's a perfect like Delrin recreation. Except for that it wobbles so bad. Oh my God. But I always felt with those that he kind of like, I think he was trying to put a new spin on his old concept with the, but it came out a little bit gimmicky with the side effects. Was just
Yeah.
that was my take as like when I was younger. And also they weren't bead blasted. And so I felt like the next iteration he always kind of missed out on. And that's part of why I was like, I gotta just start from that same design, but make the changes I would have made way
Yep.
back then, and then release that. So that's what we ended up with.
It's great when you know what you want, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And, as you said, it was always a design that people really liked, and it was in demand, and it never really was produced in a way that many people actually got to even experience it. So,
Yeah.
taking a lot of the interesting design elements and kind of pushing it forward is really cool.
Yeah.
It's very familiar to me when I get to throw the dopamine, and I very much like it. It feels like very like enjoyable in a classic way, but also new and exciting when I throw it. It has a really good blend of both aspects, which is great. So
That makes me feel so good. But also like
job.
I love how much people love this yo-yo, but I also take absolutely no credit for the design because it's Alex Kim who was trying to make a better chief. And I think he made a really, really good yo-yo out of that. And this is just a next iteration.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Such a good yo-yo. But anyway, I just want to talk and talk through kind of, I don't know, your thoughts on the dopamine. It's so good to hear your kind of
Yeah.
background in design as well and get that
Yeah, I
perspective.
mean, yeah, I'll kind of reiterate what I was just mentioning before, in that, I think that sticks out the most for me is I just both the shape and the weight distribution are really pleasing, especially for me as like what I look for in a yo-yo. I think the fact that it kind of has like a really nice organic shape to it, but it's still very modernized.
Yeah.
Having the rain aesthetic, I always really love that in a yo-yo too, because it visually it makes it distinguish when you're looking at a ton of other yo-yos.
Yeah.
And then
Literally, the Sasquatch to the Avalanche, they're such similar yo-yos, but one has that element that looks so much better.
Totally. No, I always remember that, thinking
Yeah.
like that addition of just a line, whether it's like an actual, and I mean this one's kind of cool because the rim actually steps up and off,
Yeah.
so it's just like an indent or something like that, so it actually feels almost like a weight ring. But then yeah, having like that inner weighted like kind of ring on the inset on the inside to give it kind of that focus centered weighting.
Yeah.
Just gives it a really pleasing, both move how it moves in space, moves on the string, spins really long. And as you mentioned too, I hadn't really thought about it, but it's great for snap like pole starts and stuff because it
Yeah.
spins incredibly long, which is actually funny. It's something I do like a lot at our yo-yo club is just kind of like that bind, because when kids are first starting and they see that, they're like looking. It looks like a magic trick or something. They're just like,
Yeah.
why'd you do that? How are you holding on to it while it's spinning?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great. It's superb for that. So
It
yeah.
does pull starts in a talon grind and also like a vertical and finger grinds. It's got this little valley that I'm trying to replicate on every future design that I do. There's a little valley in here. But
Oh,
I've
right.
noticed all the like the Edge 4.0s and the outliers and all the I don't know, Duncan GTR, J, like all those designs that keep winning competitions kind of have that valley with like a central hub little dimple feature there.
Interesting.
And Alex Kim designed that into his yo-yo way back when. and also had a little divot in that central hub for pulse
Right.
threading. So it's like this design that everyone now loves for reliable finger spins is just everywhere, which is a flat region with that little dimple. Like the actual finger spin hub that everybody knows about that's on like the Yo-Yo Factory DNA is great as a consumer product, but like typically that'll mess up your weight distribution having that there. In that it'll be a really good beginner yo-yo, but maybe not for the highest levels of competition. And that's why typically we aren't seeing that many of those winning competitions. Although, please correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, I mean it's true. I mean, when you
Yeah.
talk about what people want for competition, you usually want something that has a decent amount of rim weight and is very forgiving, so that if
Yes.
you're not quite dead on, it's not just going to die in the middle of a trick, which we saw so much so as we kind of came out of the 2010s into the future. So
Absolutely.
I think you're right. Like it definitely just because it's what makes sense. So.
I also, just as far as the weight distribution on this yo-yo, the two of my favorite yo-yos growing up were the Genesis, which
Yeah.
just felt it had so much power and it felt like it could do anything that you wanted. And the Yo-Yo Jam Phenomism was
Oh,
my
nice.
actual like go-to favorite. I learned most of my first tricks for like the first 5 to 7 years on a Phenomism because it was just such a good yo-yo. And particularly like I think a 2008 Worlds edition, it was like glimmery or something like that. I don't know why. I think
So
that was the first
you're talking
one I
about
bought.
the plastic one with
The
the
plastic,
weight
yeah.
on the spine, right? So yeah, that yo-yo in particular is actually I was just playing with one not long ago, because
Yeah.
we kind of have like an archive of some products at Yo-Yo Expert, and we had some Phenomisms in there. And one of the things about that yo-yo that's really impressive is it really holds up to today's standards in a way that is incredibly
Oh, yeah.
impressive, because it just kind of comes right off the gap at a sharp angle,
Yeah.
and so the gap is so wide, and with the weight placed where it is, and it being those are brass rings, so it had a lot of weight where it was
Wow.
put, and yeah, that yo-yo, amazing
That
yo-yo.
was such a good
So
yo-yo.
fun too. That was
Yeah.
like such a fun yo-yo to play with.
It just had so much control and power, and it's literally like once I saw the freak wave, if you look at it, the ring is in the same place. It's just built
Nice.
into the 6061
Yeah, very cool.
or built into the mono metal. So
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool place to put the weight that a lot of people don't commonly do today,
yeah.
by default anyways, because most people just go for rim weight. So putting it more towards the center just gives it such a fun feel. So
Yeah. Just that nice little control. But I still do love rim weight. But
yes, I
it
mean,
still has
you
power
have
in
to have
that.
a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, right away when you throw a yo-yo that doesn't have it, and
Yeah.
you're like, oh, like, and I mean, it's hard to make a bad yo-yo today because you can say it's like, oh, it's more floaty, or
Yeah.
but yeah, it is. You still need the weight to carry through a trick.
Yes.
I think putting the weight, like, it's a balance actually, because this has great rim weight, and it's a balance between having it centered with the rim weight to give it that flow in terms of how it moves through space.
Yeah. I think the first prototype for the signature that I'm working on for Katie Thompson, I think I put too much in the center, and so now the next version, I'm kind of taking the ring and moving it over
Yeah.
towards the edge.
Well, I feel like her style of play in particular too
Yeah.
probably demands rim weight in a way that
Yeah.
I would expect will push you more towards rim weight too, because I feel like
Yeah.
she goes big, hard, fast, and
Yes.
it's very, very impressive player.
This design definitely speeds a lot currently. I think it just
Nice.
doesn't quite have the power to carry
Yeah,
through bigger combos. And
right.
so it's like it's almost there, but it's so fast. It's also
Cool.
like 63 to 4 currently, and I want it to be at like 65 to 6
Nice.
just because it's a little bit. I think that little bit of extra mass will help, kind of
That's
a thing,
exciting.
but
That's
it's
very
literally
cool.
that of like you don't want too much center weight. Kind
Yeah.
of a good balance.
I'm curious on your end. So like, I feel like one of the cool things I see when you play with yo-yos is that your focus is very much on bringing flow to your tricks. And so I'm assuming that you feel like this is a good, and I would agree, but I'm curious what you think about, like, are there certain yo-yos that you've really liked when it comes to a yo-yo that works well for almost like flow art yo-yoing?
Definitely.
And what are those features and why is this good for that? I'd be curious from your own words, actually. So
Things that I find are important are to have like so much power that you don't really have to think about it, that it's just kind of there. It's like having a Mustang when you need a
totally.
Toyota.
Well, like having the dead gyroscope on the end almost to allow you to focus on the flow rather than worrying about when you
Because
spin.
there's some like concepts that I use. Like if you look at the, oh, here we can promote the giveaway. If you go look at the Yo-Yo Expert or Modern Yo-Yos Instagrams, you can see the competition, and the competition will get you to a tutorial. And in that tutorial, I talk about this concept of the law of matched spins, which is just a way of orienting the way that the yo-yo is spinning around your hand at the same time that it's spinning around its own hub. Because when you're yo-yoing, there's a lot of things spinning. There's the yo-yo on the string around your hand, and then the yo-yo itself spinning around its hub. And as long as those two things are spinning in the same direction, you have a stable system that you can do a lot of poi moves with without it going out of w without it spinning out, because it just everything is aligned. And if you reverse it, if you have the yo-yo spinning counterclockwise and the yo-yo spinning clockwise around your hand, for example, and then you start rotating your body, like turning around the axis of your head, then you're going to have a really unstable system, and that yo-yo is going to spin out really quickly. But if you follow the law of matched spins, everything will be spinning in the same direction. But in addition to that, you want the yo-yo to have a lot of power, because you're putting really weird stresses on the yo-yo while it's spinning. And so you really want the yo-yo to just be a solid, solid gyroscope to be able to power through all those stresses that you're putting on it so that it doesn't spin out. And so having a little bit of extra weight, but hiding it in this kind of center weight configuration, helps to give you that power while also giving you a lot of control so that you can move really fast when you need to. Which also, if you watch my style, I tend to go from really big and slow stuff down to really, really quick. I mean, probably not at the same level, but Hiroyuki Suzuki inspired stuff, just because I used to watch a lot of his stuff and I really like doing really quick and intricate looking stuff. And to have quick and intricate, you need power and control, which is what a center weighted, well, centered towards the rim and hefty, powerful yo-yo can give you. So I tend to get that from, one, the Freakwave, which forever I've been using, two, the Genesis, and also the Freakwave is what the Dopamine is very heavily based on. But the Genesis is really good for that as well. I have loved playing with the new Sasquatch from CLYW, oddly.
Yeah,
I
seems
really,
wild.
really like, because it's just big enough to give me enough power to get through stuff, and it feels really light on the string, but it's actually kind of, it has a lot of material there still. And so
Yeah,
it's really
that
big and
yo-yo is like
attached,
such a
everything.
performer's dream yo-yo. It's so insane.
It's
So.
so fun. Which in the past, the Jirorian, which is Crucial's really, really
Oh
giant
yes, I
yo-yo,
forgot about that one.
that one I had to look far and wide, and I think I finally found one on your forum
Nice.
long ago.
Yeah, those were also a blast. A little heavier, I feel like, than the
Very
Sasquatch
hefty,
off, you know. But
and it felt
those
more
were a
solid
blast.
too.
Yeah, that's fun.
But yeah, I look for something that has a lot of power and that isn't necessarily like the fastest, speediest yo-yo, but that has control to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, like, you know, for a long time when we talked about 2A, you know, 2A over time has kind of gone in and out of pulling a lot of technique from poi, I feel like. And you know, 2A is like retractable poi. It's always so cool in that way when I show people that do poi, like 2A tricks that, you know, reminiscent, they're like, oh my God, like cool in that way. But obviously, like 2A yo-yos are designed for looping, which is very different from what you're talking about. And it's kind of cool to kind of delve into poi style tricks with a 1A yo-yo, because it's almost like a different realm that hasn't been explored quite as much. And
Well,
yeah,
Aaliyah Tan is doing very poi inspired 3A now, right?
True, like
And
with the two yo-yos as well, which is
yeah,
awesome.
her whole thing is the best 3A yo-yos are the most boring 1A yo-yos, and that's why she's been playing the Hades lately,
That's
because
funny.
it's just pure rim weight and
Power.
power and never stopping.
I mean, it's kind of cool though, right? Because it really lets you focus on the flow part,
Yeah.
which is kind of a different direction. So,
You just
neat.
need it to, because a poi is just a ball on a string. You don't have to think about anything. So you want to reduce the amount of thinking of keeping the yo-yo in control so that you can focus on this totally separate realm of thinking, which is poi theory and like flow art theory and how to maintain all the different things that are spinning at the same time. Like, you don't want to have to focus on keeping your yo-yo stable. You want to be focusing on all that other stuff,
Totally.
which for the trick that I'm teaching in this tutorial, like, is very, you'll see if you try to complete that trick that you don't want to be worrying about your yo-yo spinning.
Right. Yeah, and I did take a brief look and was messing around with it at our yo-yo club today. I'll try and get good at it enough to post a video.
Were you able to get it?
I'm getting the gist of it. It's funny.
Okay.
I mean, I did a little bit of poi, but honestly, like, I did 2A before I did poi. So
Yeah.
I feel like my poi was always like trying to do 2A tricks with poi, like learning like the flow art of poi,
Yeah.
especially where poi has gone. Because I feel like nowadays too, poi has really gone into such a beautiful direction of flow
Oh,
that it
yeah.
wasn't quite even at when I first started, like, 20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. It spilled over into juggling too.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
just incredible.
it's so cool. It's a
Yeah.
beautiful thing to see because it's very hypnotizing now, all the arts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. I feel like it's a different direction for yo-yo, and it always makes it more interesting to have something different than just tech and
Oh yeah.
whatever else. So.
Which I've found the value in tech and all the meta competition tricks. Like, I've been practicing for competitions, and I went from 61st in prelims to 25th in prelims in a year.
Yeah,
So I'm like,
yeah.
I'm focusing on that and learning that kind of stuff and seeing the value in getting like really good at precision. And I've kind of learned, I'm kind of just going off on a rant because I haven't done a podcast in a while, and now I just want to share this thought. But
Go for it.
Justin Dower has talked to me about, and I talked about this in a previous episode, but Justin Dower has talked to me about yo-yo competition being a game, and that's kind of allowed me to more conceptualize of it, like, as an okay thing, because I've had this very negative view of competitions, at least in how I've talked about it, because I have like base level problems with them sometimes. But seeing it from this new perspective that Justin was talking about, that it's just a game of, it's not yo-yoing as a whole, it's just one little subset with one set of rules. And if you're playing one particular game, that demands conformity, because if you're like playing Monopoly and everybody's playing this random, totally different set of rules, you're not going to have a coherent game that you can actually judge people by and give them official titles that they can use to share out to the world. So, like, you have to have rules. And so, because you have rules, you have to have conformity. And because you have to have conformity, you tend to have a lot of the same tricks crop up. And the more that I've played with trying to create competition tricks, the more that I've started to find that this meta that everybody talks about isn't something that you really learn. It's just something that you inevitably stumble upon when you start trying to make tricks that fit the rule set that's given to you by the yo-yo league. And so it's kind of the end result of those rules is the meta, because it's just one way to follow those rules that tends to work for a large number of people. Which at this point is either one, do really, really heavy risk tricks, which is kind of like the Hunter method, or two, do really, really tech heavy tricks, which is like the Chris Toledo, Justin Dower method, even though they all kind of do a lot of
Yeah.
going
Well,
between.
I mean, the interesting thing with competition is it's ever evolving, and
Yes.
what works 1 year
Is
breaks
gonna change the
3 or
next.
4 years. I mean, it
Yep.
literally just breaks as people get really good at playing to the system. And
Yeah.
I mean, I think we observed that this year even, because Specifically with eval scores, I feel like it's been difficult for, like, and eval scores also being more opinionated. There's been lots of conversations about how people's feelings and thoughts about them and stuff too. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was watching all of the finals freestyles in particular this year, is it was so impressive to me how well built everyone's routines were. Like, they had really stepped the game up in terms of like a complete routine. Music use was just unbelievably impressive across the board for so many of the players on that stage. And so it kind of like was that much more obvious that that part of the judging system needs to kind of get looked at again, because and that's kind of how it always goes. It's like it works for a while and everyone's pretty happy, and then something pops up and it's obvious that we need to have conversations about how it needs to be tweaked. And I think there's been a lot of conversations about that now too, because the current system is very much based off of what the Japanese helped develop with JYYF. And there's a lot of things I think from the American side that they would like to see, just tweaked. And I think even what you were talking about too, in terms of innovation, like, I feel like there's a big difference between perspective of like what American players sometimes want versus even what Japanese want. And I feel like Japan has done a really good job at creating a system with, which is exactly what you just said, which is focused on trying to build a game that if you get really good at playing to, you can win. And I think one of the things I've always heard from a lot of American players in particular is we really tend to value and like innovation and freestyles and kind of like an unknown element that might surprise you. And it's hard to judge that. There's not an easy way or straightforward way to judge that, but yet we kind of like want that, and it's hard to figure out how to quantitate that in a way that feels fair at the same time, One of the funniest memories too is when I first started yo-yoing, we had a whole group of local yo-yo players here in Massachusetts, and Nate Sutter was one of them, if you know his name. And there was another player named Jordan Cooper, who's actually like, pretty prominent today online again. He's kind of popped up, and he made some of the most amazing tech tricks. He was like 10 or 20 years before his time when he was making these tricks. People still don't do the tricks he does. And he would get on stage and do these tricks. And I very clearly remember going to a contest, and I think he got like fifth or sixth. And one of the judges literally said, "I couldn't tell what you were doing, so I just didn't give it points." And it was such an interesting point in time, because like yo-yo freestyle judging wasn't really, built out. There was no really solid rules. It was just people were clicking what they saw. And at that point, like every day there was a new trick being posted online. And so like, depending on who the judge was too, whether or not they were valuing innovation or whether or not they were evaluating people doing really solid performances or tricks that they were expecting and stuff like that, over time, it's like, yeah, it's turned into what it is. And for better or worse, I do think when you look at it as a game and you approach it in a way that you can play to the game and succeed, and then at the end too, you can look at the scores, you can look at who scored above you and below you, and then be able to kind of evaluate where you fall and how you can either do better or change what you're doing. That's good. And that's why it ends up the game approach is like kind of perfect in that context, I think. But it isn't always what you want, because like when Hajime went and did a record-breaking foray routine that we all thought should have won, no question, from the standby perspective of watching it, and he got a much lower place than you would ever expect. It's clearly not innovation that's awarded at that point, which is really hard. At the end of the day, personally, like that's always what I want to award versus what the rules tell us, and as a judge, you have to follow the rules. And so, yeah, it's always a tug of war, kind of back and forth over time and evolution.
It's tough to make a rule set that can define correctly what yo-yoing is and then allow people to compete in those constraints, because how do you really define yo-yoing properly? And I think there's some Connor Skolden, who's recently left I think just yo-yo judging in the National Yo-Yo League, something along those lines. He's talked to me in the past about rules about yo-yoing outside of your like style, that if you're doing poi style tricks in 1A, even if they're like landing and following other rules, he was talking something, and I might be totally butchering this, but he was talking about how there are specific rules that are like you cannot do things that are outside of your style. If you're doing 2A tricks that look too much like poi, then they would just consider that poi rather than yo-yoing. And so in that, just with that frame of thinking, it's really tough to define what yo-yoing truly is.
Yeah,
If you're doing poi tricks on 2A, that
I
clearly you're yo-yoing, but now these rules say this is not what yo-yoing is.
that's true. What is yo-yoing?
Yeah.
But
It's
yeah,
such an odd
I mean,
and
and
philosophical.
in many ways too, those are some of the most fun and entertaining moments because it's like the freestyles that break the system that make you talk so much about it. And again, I'll go back to Hajime's routine in that sense too, where it was just like. I mean, no one had come close to pulling off what he pulled off on stage with the solo ham routine. However, it didn't have what it needed from a clicker point wise because they were not awarding, clicks double the amount for the way he was doing the tricks. And also, like some might have been considered repeated elements because it was a repetition of movements. Maybe they only clicked like the first pass of this insanely difficult movement. At that point, it's like, yeah, it's conversations about like, okay, like at the end of the day, what kind of routine do you want on stage? Like, do you want that kind of routine on stage, or do we want? And I mean, I think, it's up for debate. What do we really want? Because I think what the community wants is going to be different from what, judges say versus what might even be best for visibility from, an audience perspective, whether they're not yo-yo players or whether they're yo-yo players. And so it's kind of just endless circular conversations about trying to find a balance.
Like I know that if you shine UV light on a yo-yo stage, it makes those strings pop. But I also know that if you have judges sitting watching that all day, that might really bug them and just be a lot to look at. And
I know we did it
there's
for a contest
always
out here too, and I had some of the
no.
players just didn't want the UV lights on too. So it's tricky to find, figure out because I visually it's so cool, right? Like it just makes everything pop in a way. My opinion at the time was it was worth it because the audience was stoked because it was a new audience and it was everybody was like new to yo-yoing. So at that point it was like it's more about making it fun. But somebody has practiced. 6 months straight, 4 hours a day, they get
With
on
no
the
UV.
stage. It's like, yeah, you're like, you kind of gotta, at that point, it's a different thing.
Completely. But anyway, I'm just so excited to have this thing up on the site.
Yeah, I mean, when I finally got to kind of throw it at Nationals, it really, it hit in a way that it felt like I was excited because it felt like I said something that was kind of classic. It reminded me of all the things that you talked about, but it also felt new and exciting. And especially for like most people who yo-yo today who are buying yo-yos, like they haven't experienced so many of the older classic throws and to modernize something that was really a favorite and kind of move it in a slightly new direction too is really cool. Yeah, I mean this is also I feel like one of the more well-rounded designs and shapes and everything too, because like the size and the everything is just right. It's not like too big or too wide. It's like perfect if you're just starting out and you want like a good priced metal yo-yo. And as you said too, it has a lot of qualities that I feel like someone who's been yo-yoing a long time will pick it up and really enjoy that, which is where I feel like I'm at with it too.
Including it's 7075, which if you're newer, you might not really know this relevance, but they will last longer. They take dings better. They don't ding as
I
deep and
mean,
gougy.
much more durable. I mean, even from a we obviously handle a lot of people buying yo-yos and hitting them on the ground as they start. And one of the nice things about 7075 in particular is they're much more resilient to axles bending, like the actual inner posts. I feel like that's what happens a lot with a 6061 is it takes a bad hit and then it forever vibrates. And 7075 definitely is a little more resilient, which is really nice.
The strength is incredibly different from 6061 to 7075. The amount of strength that you get in material properties for that tiny amount of like more money when you're manufacturing them is immense. Like it's you get a lot more strength.
It's very cool.
But
It also 7075 kind of gives it this interesting feel. Like I feel like I can usually throw 6061 and 7075 and tell the difference. And honestly, I'm not usually the biggest fan of 7075 yo-yos in terms of how they actually feel on the string. For whatever reason, I mean, it goes back to like the very beginning of them coming out. Because I remember the Supernova when it was first released was 7075. I was also a big fan of the Genesis as well back in the day, and originally that one was 6061. But the actual Supernova was 7075, and I remember when they made versions that were out of 6061. It was like, oh wow, I love this so much more for whatever reason. However, with your yo-yo, and I mean, there's a lot of yo-yos that buck the trend for me too. And I think a lot of it also has to do with kind of where you said you put the weight. Because I find that 7075 yo-yos that have a lot of rim weight, because you can put a little more rim weight on a 7075 and get away with it too. So the fact that you've put the weight more towards the center and it's 7075, it gives it a very cool feel that I haven't had from a lot of yo-yos, because most 7075 yo-yos have a lot of rim weight by default based on what they're trying to do, and also because they can machine it, I think, to a higher tolerance, and so it allows them to put a little more rim weight on there and get away with it. So this one is really cool because it has, 7075, but it's also just a way more balanced approach in yo-yo, and it's also like organically, the actual shape is a little more rounded in that way too, which you don't always get in a 7075. They're usually way more competition angular focused, so it's cool. Really enjoying it. So.
There's a reason that I didn't have to change a lot. He got so much right in that first design. It's just like incredible. It's one other thing is I love that organic yo-yos can do rejections really well. They just have
Absolutely.
a really nice feeling for that, and more
Yeah,
modern
the
yo-yos,
string just pops right off,
it
you know.
just yeah, it goes
I mean,
bloop
the spin of the yo-yo really helps, with the wall coming up the way it does too, to pop that right out. So I did that actually as I was playing it, because I've been working on a lot more tricks with rejections in them too. So that's cool.
It's got that little like organic shoulder that just allows for that without being too actually organic, which is just one more little thing that I've always liked about it. I also just looked it up, and I'm pretty sure the yield strength of 6061 aluminum to 7075 aluminum, so like the actual strength, is about double. It's
Wow.
like 80,000 for 7075 compared to 40,000 for 6061. So you get a lot more
Durability.
pounds that you can put into each where it or each cubic inch before it breaks, basically. So literally twice as strong. But yeah, that's dopamine. I'm so glad to hear that you picked up on
Where'd you
it.
get the name from, or
Oh, dopamine. It's I have ADHD, and dopamine is literally the
nice.
neurotransmitter that is, involved in all that. I don't
Nice.
think it's neurotransmitter. I don't know the brain chemistry, but it's
Yeah,
definitely a thing in
neuro.
there. Yeah,
Yeah, and neurotransmitter is a good word to use.
yeah.
I studied neuroscience in school and stuff too at the time, so
Really?
yeah. And then
Dude,
went
that's
to
awesome.
sell toys instead. So,
It's always good when you can use your degree.
I mean, we have a science store, so I actually get a decent amount of use out of a lot of the concepts I learned and stuff too.
Well,
But,
there you go. What's like your best sellers at A to Z?
oh my God. I mean, we sell for yo-yos or just toys in general, or.
Oh, for science toys.
It's funny, our most favorite toy that we've had in the past like 2 years, there's a company that is called Thames and Cosmos, and they make really amazing science kits for all ages, and they came out with a cyborg hand,
Ooh.
and so it has movable fingers, and it runs off hydraulic pumps that connect to little pistons that you pull.
Oh,
And so
wow.
like your hand goes into the bottom of it, and it literally looks like you have Iron Man's hand on your hand, and you build the whole thing. And then as you pull it, the fingers actually like open and close. And because it's hydraulic pumps, and you kind of learn how hydraulics works, you have to actually put the water into like the pumps and connect the tubes up to the fingers and stuff. And because it's hydraulics, it actually like can pick up a considerable amount of weight. And so it really is like an extended, large robotic hand that you can walk around and like play with and do stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the best toy. It's like you build something, you understand something, because I had built it with my son, and like I knew hydraulics, but after finishing with that, I was like, oh man, hydraulics are cool. You know,
Oh, yeah.
like, so fun. And then you get to like play with it and walk around and feel like you're Iron Man after. It was just like it hits all the cool facts and stuff. So that's that we like to find, you know, fun toys that do that.
That's so
And
cool.
thankfully, there's a lot of companies doing cool stuff with you know, science or robotics and engineering type approaches that make you think, but also make it cool. So yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot out there. Man, I'm thinking there's some YouTube channel that makes some really cool stuff, but I forget which one it is.
There's so many good YouTube channels that make cool
Oh,
stuff.
I think it's Mark Rober. He maybe started a company off of his channel.
What's the name?
Mark Rober?
Mark Rover. Is he
You
the
know Mark Rober?
squirrel?
Yeah, he's the squirrel
Yeah,
guy.
yeah, yeah.
Giant
He's
Nerf dart guy, all that stuff.
incredible. I love watching his stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the other ones are those dudes, and I'm forgetting the name, but they made like the giant lightsaber that, you know, like kind of really works or whatever. Forget.
Hacksmith
Hacksmith,
Industries.
yeah, I think they're out of
Yeah.
Canada or something, but yeah, it's yeah, there's some cool stuff happening
Yeah.
with engineering and a lot of money.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Do some cool stuff, so.
Yeah. It's nice to see toys. It's all part of the toy industry. It's just
Yeah.
cool to see all out there.
Yeah, physics, engineering, and then applying it in a way that's fun. You know, I mean, I think
Yeah.
that's like back to yo-yos is it's, you know, I mean, that's always been one of my favorite part is it kind of combines art plus science in a way that like is really unique
Yeah.
and kind of makes you think and like makes you even understand, you know, just kind of how the world works in a very interesting way. So it's
Yeah.
cool.
Back when I was a junior member at the Magic Castle, I remember one of the mentors there was talking about how, like, over time he's seen a lot of people who are in that program that go on to, like, just get like big degrees and stuff and have cool jobs, and they tend to have really successful career paths and be smart and all that. And I went on and, you know, got fancy degrees and shit. I'm not saying I'm smart, but I went and followed that path. And I think that that tends to hold. And the fact, like, he was very, very serious about when he was saying that, it was in a, like, he was just talking to all of us in a time that he meant to be telling us this. I think that tends to hold in a lot of other communities like this, that it draws a certain type of person to want to learn a number of tricks and learn the intricacies of them and what makes them work, and then perfect them and master them. Like, that
Totally.
draws a very specific brain type, and
Yeah.
that tends to be people who are able to sit and focus and hyper focus, which again brings in ADHD type people a lot of the time. And a lot of we have a very neurodivergent community. Like, it's just a really incredible community.
I think that's what's cool too, is it's a very balanced community in that way too.
Yeah.
It's like you've got people coming from every angle in that way, and they really
Yeah.
do all come together in a way that feels really neat that you don't always see that happening. And I mean, you're right, like I feel like it definitely attracts people who are, you know, have those skills, kind of like whether or not they even are aware they have those skills, but that they have those skills and the ability to focus. But what I also really love is how it can teach people that with practice, perseverance, and also like it
Yeah.
teaches you how to learn in a way that I feel like has always been really neat and magical, where
Yeah.
especially kids that get into it like before they go to college, like I feel like when you learn like that a trick,
Yes.
it has all these steps, and that when you start with the first step and you repeat this until you feel like you've mastered it and you move on to the second step. And then when you like start sitting down at a course and you start applying what you've learned, it's like you have to understand the basic concept and then you move on to this concept, but repeating and repetition and thinking about it,
Yeah.
it definitely made a big difference for me when I was studying at school, like having that background and learning and even being aware of what your learning style is, whether it's visual, whether it's thinking, you know, textually pictures or whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
yo-yoing kind of helps you understand how you even think, which is awesome. So, yeah.
Completely. I remember learning your tutorials like way back when, because I'd learned from your tutorials.
Yeah,
So
nice.
of course, endless debt of gratitude to you.
Oh,
But
thank you.
I remember being like, oh, is this all of yo-yoing now that I've learned all of these?
Right.
And like, if you stop there, then you're not going to get very far in yo-yoing. But if you then realize that you can take any one of those tricks and do it with like reverse any motion, and now you have a brand new trick.
Love
Like,
it.
none of those are set in stone. And that way of starting to realize that you can take what's out there and then alter it and change it and make it into something new is a really important fundamental skill that applies to everything that you do that's
Yep.
creative. So
So
it's just
applicable to so many parts of life that isn't immediately obvious. It's so cool. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Good community.
it is. It's the best.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, cool. I think that we can
Good
wrap this up then.
conversation. So yeah. No, it's excited for the release of Dopamine. I'm excited for people to check out your tutorial too and see if they can pick up a new skill, because I feel like it's a very different style of trick. And if they give it a minute, I feel like it's gonna kind of even open their eyes a little bit to what's possible. Yeah, the dopamine is great for that and very enjoyable.
There's some really fundamental theory embedded in that tutorial that if you learn that, it's like I was saying earlier, that if you learn that and you think that you've just learned that trick, you really haven't. If you learn this tutorial, you will have learned a lot of really fundamental concepts that you can start to like turn your body in circles, and you'll realize that your yo-yo isn't going off axis anymore because you're applying really fundamental theories.
True.
Like
It's back to the conversation. It can apply in other aspects
it
of
applies
yo-yoing
everywhere. Yep.
in life.
So I really hope people enjoy the tutorial. There's good stuff embedded in it. But
Cool. All
nice.
right.
Then I will wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining, Andre.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was a fun conversation to have. So keep up the good work. So
Likewise.
thanks.
Cool.
All right. Have a good
Peace.
night.